Welcome to another episode of Harvest Series, a podcast following a four-day experience in Kaplankaya on the southwestern Aegean coast of Turkey, filled with fascinating talks and workshops to harvest knowledge and nurture the planet, an event produced by Athena Advisors and Capital Partners.
What we are doing, feeling sensations in the body and breathing more, allowing them to surface and to integrate, it is, as I see it, it is trauma residue or like suppressed material that comes to the surface from the unconscious.
Yeah.
So it is very much healing. So so this practice is, as opposed to just breathing and exploding, or this vibe, practice is gentle,
mm-hmm.
and that makes it safe. So we're always in the window of tolerance where we can still enjoy what we're doing and even feel pleasure of the sensations in our body.
I am Rose, a French journalist based in Barcelona. And in this episode, I bring you an interview recorded in London during the Harvest event at COCO. My guest is Robin van der Kruisen, a Swedish DJ who experienced a profound revelation during a breathwork session, prompting him to explore and integrate his emotions into his work. Alongside his DJing, Robin also incorporates now the harp and harmonica into his breathwork practices, creating a unique and enriching experience.
Hello, Robin.
Hi.
We call you, so your stage name is Kruisen.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to call you Robin for this interview, is it okay?
Yeah, super.
So let's talk a bit about the music, that's how you started. We'll come to breathwork also because it's now an important part of your life and probably your connection to nature. So you've started with music, electronic music. How has your electronic music has evolved since you first touched a computer?
I think in many ways it's actually the same. It's so similar from the first track that I made.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just been, I guess, refined in a way over and over again over the last, 10, 11, 12 years. In the beginning, it was similar as now with this playful or like, you know, sparkly melodies and things flying around.
What did you enjoy the first time you discovered like to do electronic music? Did you enjoy electronic music, I guess, before playing it yourself?
Yeah. Not that much. Not that much. So it was more just the freedom of finding a channel to be creative, and not having to practice anything, any instrument.
Have you tried before an instrument?
Yeah, that's how I started music, playing French horn and piano, and yeah. And now I actually play the harp. So I've gone back again.
Wow.
To instruments.
Okay. So you have the circle is. So you play the harp. So you like original instrument, old school, old fashioned instruments in a way?
Yeah.
Why?
Harp and harmonica is, I'm not sure why.
You don't want to do like everybody, the classical like guitar and piano. It's you like to rediscover other instruments?
Yeah? Actually the inspiration comes from plant medicine ceremonies.
Okay.
So that's the reason why I play this harp that I play and the harmonicas as well.
Can you explain the harp? So
the harp was played by a Colombian man that I have worked with a lot.
Okay.
So he played this in ceremony after a few years of working with him and getting to know the harp. I bought the harp from him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I haven't taken any lessons or anything. And I wouldn't call myself a harpist, but I know my way.
You like the sounds and you like what it creates, okay?
And I like simple repetitions and like this, almost like getting into a trance almost. It's just more like putting a vibe than making a grand performance.
Okay.
So it's more like providing a space.
The frequencies?
Frequencies, yeah.
That talk to you? Okay.
Yeah. Frequencies and mood and...
Okay, so how
like little subtle changes in within like a something that's holding you.
Okay, so it's almost like a meditation when you play your harp?
Yeah, you could call it. So sometimes I play the harp and I guide a breathwork or a meditation while playing, or I try to.
Okay, so it seems like so far away, the most extreme harp and electronic.
Yeah.
yeah. and electronic music.
Yeah.
Can you explain this? Like you're in a different mood when you do, of course, electronic music than the harp. And how yeah. do you manage like all this palette of yeah. mood, like of playing
no
instruments?
Idea.
You have no idea.
But I guess that is why I do it. It's sort of like a counterbalance.
Okay, yes.
So, and it's also, I think, DJing and breathwork. It's like one is more like and bigger and more up and energetic, and the other is more, okay,
calming.
Perhaps more introspective and more challenging, exploring, and while the DJing and the electronic music is more celebratory, perhaps.
Okay, and before discovering the harp and meditation, you were in electronic music. You told me also you were into extreme sport, so you have this energy in you that you need to release in extreme and very active things. Mm. Like music and sports?
Yeah, at least I had it, this energy. No, it's still, there's still this eagerness. Yeah, so it's been a lot of extreme sports, skateboarding or cliff jumping or kite surfing, and also going into music and DJing in this club life with yeah. this, with that energy.
Okay.
But it's funny, I see this energy nowadays as like more of a... Back then, it was for me just joy and fun and, you know.
You were not conscious about this energy, no?
No, yeah? Not really. Yeah. It was just,
okay.
I need to do this. Yeah. but when I look back now, it's I can see the kind of the distraction or the like the obsessiveness in it.
Okay.
You know, I've been sitting like 12 hours a day creating music like this.
Really?
Okay, I have to go to the bathroom. Like, oh! And I have tinnitus now, and like my back got sore, and it's like it hasn't been like very
absorbed in the
yeah, a bit too much.
Okay,
and perhaps that, and also these extreme sports, and the DJing and the loud environments as a way to feel something, perhaps.
And then you found another way to feel things. Through meditation and breath work. Can we come back on the probably the first moment where you discovered like the power of breathing?
I had one experience. I didn't know what I was going into. So suddenly I was in a breath work session in a festival. Ended up me just crying and crying and crying.
Wow.
And I never cry. I don't remember crying.
Not like me. You're not a crying person.
But I'm becoming. I'm softening more and more.
Okay. So you discovered breath. How? What type of? What kind of experience was it?
Yeah, this was like alongside a gong symbol.
Okay.
So we're breathing and making sound with this gong, and eventually I just exploded and yeah, it was really like a pivotal moment because I had no idea that this was possible.
Okay, it's very interesting.
Breathing.
Have you met the gong girl? Because she just told us like a very similar experience when she was like overworking, overachieving, and then she had a gong experience and she started crying. So a bit a bit like you, that's powerful, powerful stuff. And then you decided you wanted to focus on this, to dive into this kind of experiences.
There was no doubt after that. I was like, okay, this is too interesting.
Too good,
So I started mainly just exploring by myself.
Wow.
For like 6 months and I was traveling a lot with the DJing, so everywhere I went, in hotel rooms or in the jungle, I was...
Yeah, really?
But
okay.
Still lots of the same energy of like... like, you know, going extreme, pushing it, going somewhere other than perhaps what's going on right here, right now.
Yeah.
So it was still like the same...
You were chasing something from
chasing
outside,
something.
Okay. Being aware of
being
your breath.
Aware,
yeah.
And just at that time, just breathing to get into some other state.
States,
just to change the state of myself.
To go to transcendental states or just to keep your mind peaceful?
Yeah, really to transcend, to go into this ecstatic state.
Oh, okay. You were chasing this, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now are you still chasing this or the transcendental state? Or you have a more relaxed approach to breathing, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a bit more relaxed.
More relaxed.
But I came in touch with this this modality that I'm a teacher of now, which
yeah,
is called...
Yeah, please, can you explain?
Yeah, it's vivation. It's called, so it's also a meditation. So it's not only breathing and seeing what happens. It's breathing to support feeling awareness. So you always focus on the strongest feeling in the body.
Okay.
So I breathe to be able to feel what's going on in my body, moment by moment. So this really has confronted me with like, okay, well, where are you going, Robin? Like, can you just be here and feel what's happening in your body?
And so, now would you be able to say what you're feeling in your body even without breathing? Like,
Yeah,
could you tell me?
The first thing I notice is some sensations in my forehead.
Okay.
And a little slight tightness in my throat. It's a lot in the fore, on this front side.
Okay, it's because you're doing an interview and or not?
It's, for me, I try to not always, I don't want to analyze it, label it, at least not in this practice.
Okay.
I just want to stay with the sensation.
Okay.
I want to stay at this feeling level. So if I can just welcome these sensations into my experience, I really welcome this and just bring that into here and now. So I'm kind of welcoming more of myself. That's how it feels.
Wow.
If I bring these sensations, I include them, welcome them and let them contribute to my experience of here and now. It can be super uncomfortable, really painful. The practice is really to go into the sensation and explore it in even more detail. So if this sensation here in my forehead, it's not pleasant as I feel it now, it's a little bit, oh, I wish it weren't there.
Yeah, okay.
But if I just tune it in, I just let go of any label of why it is there or what it is, even if it's unpleasant, or especially if it's unpleasant, I just tune it in more and more. I feel it in its subtle changes.
Yeah.
And I relax in its presence. So I can kind of allow that to integrate.
Oh.
As opposed to me like, oh, I wish it weren't there. Like having this resistance.
Yeah.
So I release the resistance.
Okay.
Basically.
And do you think this thing in your head is here to help you or to tell you something? Or
yeah. Definitely. And I might, like, by doing this, by feeling it in more detail, welcoming it in, the sensation, just the physical sensation, like, there might come an insight or a memory while I do this.
Really?
So I see sensations in my body as a direct link, the pole that fireman goes down in to my unconscious.
Okay.
To my subconscious.
How did you learn to do this? How do you practice and how do you teach? I guess that's what you're teaching to other people during the retreats with your partner. That's what you teach to people. So how did you first learn how to do that, to identify things in your body? Was it difficult for you? Because were you aware of your body before? I think it's very difficult to be aware of one's body
it
when
is.
Living in a city or even not living in a city anywhere. I think it's very difficult to access our body. And with education, the way we're raised and for many reasons. And how do you teach beginners to do that?
It's freaking hard. And it's been really hard for me. It still is. At sometimes I don't want to feel, I can't feel like, I don't even want to breathe. Just wanting to be in my head.
Yeah.
And starting out with this, also, as I said, I was really confronted with this, this chasing of going somewhere, just breathing more and more and more, instead of just feeling what's already here, because the body is sending signals the whole time. But it's just been practice. Doing it a lot.
Okay. So for a beginner, how would you teach a beginner the first steps for a beginner when you have students? What the first things you tell them to do?
You can do little exercises like squeezing your finger and like feeling the sensations in your finger and like stuff like this. There's really simple exercises, but mainly it's just bring your awareness inside your body. Maybe that is also a vague invitation for some, but if we focus on our body, what we feel, so any feeling, even if it's just the pressure of your butt against the floor, against the chair.
Yeah.
So if you can feel that, That's like an entry point to the felt sense of the body.
Okay, yeah.
And then if we start breathing, we'll feel more. So breathing more is feeling more. So it's like the turning up the volume.
Okay.
So we'll feel more.
Okay. Do you breathe with your mouth or with your nose?
Yeah, in these sessions, usually the mouth.
The mouth.
Just because it moves more energy. And
yeah, because it goes straight to your lungs. Yeah.
Yeah. It just moves more.
Okay, more energy. When it's exercises, normally you would breathe with your nose, and for exercises or when it's more specific, you move with your...
Actually, for exercising and training, I also breathe with my nose. So nose all the time. except for like special occasions where I want to open and go into like a healing.
Okay, healing.
Then I just move a lot of energy and move air.
So how do you incorporate this breathing into your music? Because that's very original, I think. You might be the one of the few to do that.
Yeah, maybe.
So because you decided, like, you love so much breathing that you would put it in your music.
Yeah.
How do you, can you explain?
Yeah, I'm still working on it. I'm just trying out. I started with just, because I have the microphone, because I play harmonica on top of my music. So I already had the microphone. So I, over maybe a few months, I started to like sneak in a little breath, and and eventually I invited everyone. I actually said, okay, let's breathe a little bit. And now I have a few tracks where I recorded some breathing, some breaths in it. So I really want to at least explore what we can do.
Yeah, because the challenge is when people are at night, they want to party. They're a bit. Sometimes for me, I'm a bit lazy, like I don't want to do exercise, so that's a challenge for you, not to make them be active and participate to what you're doing. Right.
Yeah, but usually, at least in the places that I play, festivals and some clubs too, if I just really go for it, then people usually join.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's really simple, and it really, in just a couple of breaths, it becomes obvious that it's kind of tying us all together, like making a more, I don't know, cohesive, symbiotic, synergistic thing happening even more.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
So that's what I want to explore. Like, how can we more, instead of someone dancing there and someone dancing there, it's like a little bit spread out.
Yeah.
So how can we like gather more and like...
Well, like a ceremony.
Moving in that direction towards Germany.
Yeah. But I have watched a bit of videos of you and you're always and listen to your music and you stay playful in a way. You keep you like playfulness, no?
Yeah.
So, and when do you, is it like because you are like this or you really want to engage people with a playfulness, not taking yourself very seriously or because you love to this approach of life? Right.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know how it's come about, but there's been a sense of wanting to invite more lightness or more, just allowing ourselves to be. For a moment and just be a little goofy, play a little bit.
It's
so healthy, it's healing to just step into this mode of just playing for a bit without any purpose, without any meaning, just for the sake of playing itself.
For Harvest in London, first thanks for traveling here. You have like two things planned. So one is a breath work, and another one is DJing, playing. You're going to play electronic music. Can you tell what have you got in mind? What are you going to do?
Yeah, for the breath work, I think the main my intention will be just to for us all to be in the body, so feeling the sensations in the body.
Okay.
Basically, after a long day of.
Yeah, and you will be after Gabor Maté, right?
Yeah.
So it's. Probably going to talk about trauma and heavy stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you approach it? Yeah, you want to...
So it's super relevant. This is what we are doing, feeling sensations in the body and breathing more and allowing them to surface and to integrate. It is, as I see it, it is trauma residue or like suppressed material that comes to the surface from the unconscious.
Yeah.
So it is very much healing. So so this practice... is as opposed to just breathing and exploding or this vibe, this practice is gentle and that makes it safe. So we're always in the window of tolerance where we can still enjoy what we're doing and even feel pleasure of the sensations in our body.
Okay. Trauma is something you're interested in?
Yes.
You've been exploring yourself?
Yes. Yeah, especially I enjoy this, as Gabor calls it, the little T... The capital T and little T, the little T trauma, where we didn't get what we needed or didn't have emotionally attuned caregivers or parents. And all these little moments repeated over a long time. This is, as I see it, like very much my experiences of like I've always been shy, and I remember this red feeling of this blushing, like throughout my, I think it became less only once I got up to 20, age of 20.
Okay.
But I definitely think that, like, I had lots of these experiences during childhood, and that's also why I've been into this extreme sports and finally into breathwork and like pushing and. Because it seems to be, as I look at it now, a way for me to actually feel alive, fundamentally, to feel something. Because I haven't. It's only 2 years since I have gotten access to anger, sadness. So all of this is quite new.
Releasing.
And I'm 38.
You said you were shy being on stage. Now you're on stage. You're talking to everyone. Like, that's a therapy for you, like, to be on stage and to talk to.
Yeah, I think nowadays it's becoming a therapy, but it's been really challenging.
yeah, clearly. Okay.
And also once I made the decision to play my music only, so then it became really like, okay, it's just me and my music. But yeah, it's nowadays it's really I'm always confronted with this shyness still, or like this awkwardness of being this massive focal point with all the eyes, and it's still really like, wow, bringing up a lot. Yeah, the breathing comes in and just feeling into the body again and again, finding ways to be with what's happening in myself, and gradually, increasingly becoming more and more freer. Yeah, more
freer.
Free. Yeah.
Okay.
From this more contracted, you know, where the energy just goes into a red head and it's like, oof.
Yeah.
So gradually becoming a more free, relaxed, like this type of being.
I want to do like this now. Oh, that's cool. Okay. So you said, like, breath helped you a lot, and I had the pleasure to meet yesterday Torun, your partner. She helped you a lot. So meeting her, so she's an amazing person. You're organizing a retreat with her in Norway, because you're Swedish, but now you live in Norway. Maybe we're going to say where you live, because it's quite interesting. So meeting her, and I saw the way you're communicating, the two of you, and it's completely incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always checking what you're feeling with her. Can you tell me more about this, if you want to share?
Yeah, for sure. It's really, we took some courses and went to some weekends and retreats with this relating practices. And then we've just brought it into daily life. So we sit down and we do these practices where we just, how are you right now? It's very simple. And you share and I share, like, what's happening in me while listening to you. And we always try to, like, check in if I bring up something, or like, how was this for you to hear? How did that land with you? And okay, when you said this, actually this happened in me. So we're kind of trying to, and by now it goes quite natural.
Really?
So we're
okay. Must be a bit addictive, no? It's very.
It is addictive, yeah. It has such a negative connotation.
No, in a positive way,
but
exactly.
But it's
in
really,
a, how do you say, hooking?
Really,
yeah,
it's really nurturing.
Way. Yeah.
So just like yesterday before coming here, we sat down for half an hour. So instead of like having a pre-drink or something, we just sit down and we go into this exploring what's here right now between us, what's happening in you, what's happening in me. And it's really nurturing. Like, even if like initially it's like, oh, should we really do this rigid structured
drink
practice?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just, but it takes a few sentences and it's like, and you get really engaged, and like, wow, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And you get so much energy from it.
That's so crazy. Okay. And so you arrive at the party where you could be like a bit stressed, or I don't know, like in a certain way, and with a lot of people that you don't know. And so it's exciting, but it could also be like a part of stress. So you arrive stronger, the both of you, and more connected at the dinner.
Yeah, both connected to each other and more centered in ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the essence, or one way to put it. We get more in touch with what's mine, what's yours, and so how can we be like really stable and grounded in ourselves as separate individuals.
Okay.
And from this place we also connect in a more intimate, deeper way, it seems.
Yes.
Which just feels really soothing, nurturing for the soul. It's like just comes, you know, it's like coming alive from the very deepest of ourselves, like.
That's very interesting. So you moved to Norway. So you're together in a very tiny little, how would you call it? It's wooden. It's like in the nature, in the wood, in a tiny place.
Tiny house. Yeah.
Tiny house. Is it a house? Yeah.
So like right now, we're living in each other's one. We have two tiny houses. So like
next 12, to each other.
12 square meters is mine. Yeah. but we bought a house two days ago.
That's so now, cool. So you're going to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, to a bigger place.
Now it's a massive timber wooden house by a lake. So
wow.
It's a new phase in life for sure.
So you're going to organize retreats there?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. That's the plan. Yeah, we do these retreats. She's a doctor and also a musician and breath worker. So we do these retreats mainly focused on this breathing practice that we are teachers of, but also movement and ice bathing and singing and relating practices, but all through the lens of what's happening in your nervous system, or how is it to get to know ourselves as a nervous system being activated, feeling unsafe, feeling safe all the time.
And how
can we self-regulate? How can we manage by breath, for example, the level of activation in our system in any given moment?
Yeah.
For example, this is the brake pedal.
No, I wanted to know how, since you moved in the nature, how it changed your spirituality, your life, and when you arrive in London, how do you do to cope with such a big city with big noise? Like it's a shock, no? When you arrive from your place and super calm and everything, you're a different person probably in the nature, more relaxed, and then you arrive in London in the city. How do you do that?
I think the main thing about being in the forest every day is this sensitivity. It's just allowed to come alive again, to be sensitive to everything, to what's happening inside, to what's happening outside. But as you say, like that becomes also a challenge when coming into. sounds like I'm a total hermit outside, but it's not really that extreme. But it's still challenging to go into the city sometimes, to when there's so much stimuli.
Yeah.
It just sounds but. Again, bringing the awareness inside. Okay, what can I feel in my body? So just bringing the awareness, conserving the energy, as opposed to, because when I'm like this, listening, looking at all the everything, like it's like energy leakage, like not energy in some sort of vague mystical thing necessarily. It's just my energy, my level of energy, inspiration is kind of leaking a little bit if I'm always looking around and listening, but if I can use it to notice what's happening in my body, it's more conserving and replenishing. But for yesterday when we came in in the taxi, we
oh, you're gonna say that story, I love it.
Because I was really we sat and was quite tired, so we asked him if we could put on like a drone, like a Tanpura sound I found on YouTube, like So we asked the taxi driver, are you sure you're okay with this? He was like, yeah, go for it. So we sat and hummed for like half an hour, just sang.
In the Uber.
We invited the taxi driver, but he was a little bit shy. But it was really, it's really like this conserving the, staying with warm with ourselves. So not being drained.
Yeah.
Like really cultivating.
Yeah, but that's an effort.
And, it is an effort, but it's really, it feels amazing.
So I'm going to ask you the last question, one question I'm asking to all the guests of Harvest. It's related to the edition's theme of Harvest in London. What is your favorite tool to actively transform our society, our planet, or ourselves?
I would say, this word gentleness comes up. It's been so central to me. So whenever we find ourselves in like any challenging or constricted or not a place where we feel harmonious and are a place or a time where we're not able to act lovingly and compassionately, to be really gentle with ourselves. This has been
with ourselves.
With ourselves. I think that we have to begin there. So yeah, inwards and okay, what's happening? Can I invite a little bit more gentleness towards my experience? Maybe it's not wrong what's happening in me. Maybe it's just something coming up to be felt, to be acknowledged, to be loved, to be met with gentleness.
Thank you, beautiful. Thank you very much, Robin. How do you feel?
I feel quite relaxed. Yeah, this funny mix of engagement, aliveness, and also relaxation. I feel good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good too. I'm very happy. Yeah, very good. Happy at this interview and relaxed. More relaxed than before, yeah. So thank you so much. It was a great interview, and good luck for the breathwork and for the party tonight.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Robin van der Kruisen, where he shared his musical and breathing journey, both of which are integral parts of his life and influence each other. I particularly appreciated his insights into communication with his partner, Torun. Meeting them at dinner before the interview, I was struck by the special connection. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a positive review and following us on Instagram at Harvest Series. You can also watch our podcast on youtube.com/Harvest Series. In our next episode, we'll be interviewing Tania Casemini, who explores themes of love, connection, spirituality, and sexuality. She has also authored a beautiful book titled Gasp, which collects 20 anonymous erotic stories. Until next time.